Long ago, when the pyramids were still young, Egyptian kings played a game of great and terrible power. But these shadow games erupted into a war that threatened to destroy the entire world, until a brave and powerful pharaoh locked the magic away, imprisoning it within the mystical Millennium Items. Now, 5,000 years later, a boy named Yugi unlocks the secret of the Millennium Puzzle. He is infused with ancient magical energies, for destiny has chosen him to defend the world from the return of the Shadow Games, just as the brave Pharaoh did 5,000 years ago.
All right.
Yu-Gi-Oh! We're gonna talk Yu-Gi-Oh!
That good, huh?
This week and every week, if it's up to me. Let this be a lesson not to have wine.
Oh,
because
yeah, baby.
The second you do, your body goes to the graveyard.
You're still hungover?
I'm not hungover, but I do think that the wine poisoned me and ruined me, and that now I am going to die.
Well, welcome to Alex's funeral here on Ballin' Out
Game Time.
The game is life or death.
Or is it death? We're
As
here.
Always, we are here. Alex Bachak, Katie Rose Leon.
How'd you get in here?
Velour suits at our casino. Hello, welcome. Alex is feeling under the weather because someone poisoned his wine. We are identical twins and we run this casino despite Alex's real brother coming to the casino. Hello, I also look like Chris Patak because we are all identical twins.
Hello, Alex. Oh, I can't tell you guys apart.
Yeah, you can't.
You look so similar.
We look so fucking alike. Which one do you shoot?
Congratulations on getting the privilege of looking identical to me and Katie.
I will just shoot you both.
That being welcomed to a casino by a visibly sick greeter really gets you in the right mindset to blow some cash.
Yeah, you're like, we're not here to have fun. We're here to survive.
Yeah, because I'm kind of there like, germs. You could be me. You better make cash or you'll be leaving as dead as me.
Oh my God, Alex, you're so visibly don't feel well. I feel so bad for you.
Well, I already edited the other one, so I'm
I think you look great.
Baskets,
I think you look
baby.
Like a million bucks.
I think you look like fucking shit.
Hey, stop saying that.
You look like
image is important to me.
You look she like a wet rag used the covered in dog shit.
Just because you got your hot Thanksgiving cut.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the most fuckable person at Thanksgiving.
Katie's the Megan Thee Stallion of this Ballin' Out Game Time.
Yeah, that's
She's
right.
She's turning heads. I am SZA.
And
toss
him
like a barbecue.
Which means Chris is Doja Cat.
I was going to say Doja Cat.
You are Doja Cat.
Thank
yeah.
you. I have a mustache for Thanksgiving this year. That's my contribution to
oh,
the
yeah.
Thanksgiving looks.
What does your girlfriend think of that?
I think she likes it. Although she hasn't been like, you repulse me. So dub.
I think that's the best response you could really get. To one of these situations. And this is the kind of content we'll be providing you this week. Just conversations I could be having tomorrow, but instead having recorded right now.
Yep. We should only talk about the video part of this. What we can see in the rooms we're in.
Let's just alienate everyone as much as possible.
Well, here's why I look sick. And this is a big part of looking sick. A, eyes scrunched up. All fucking fucked up eyes. It looks like there's a fucking ghost in my eyes. And then also, this is how you spot somebody with a cold, a red Santa Claus style nose.
Yeah, you look like a little, you've been throwing snowballs with the fellas outside.
Oh, I'm too cold. I'm too cold to podcast.
You look like an elf. That wants to be a dentist, but is forced instead to be a manufacturer.
This does That's a good point. This
that classic tale.
Seamlessly
for some
leading,
reason we watch every year.
You're leading me into the fact that this episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Has like an homage to Ebenezer Scrooge mode in it.
It does.
I don't know if it's Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, is I love this show.
He sees his own gravestone and goes, no!
I guess that's true. It's just so unhinged. This whole episode is really just like, they're like, we let everyone have a turn right in an episode, and this week Dave did a bunch of psychedelics, and he's not even coming down yet, but his turn, so
it
let's just let him go.
Dork.
Yeah.
Alex, it's good that this is this week, though, because you look as though you're worried about the Reaper of Podcasts coming for you any day now.
Yeah, I'm unclear on what the Reaper of Podcasts would be, but I'm also unclear on what the Reaper of Cards was. And
I think it's just a Reaper. It's just the Reaper.
Right, it's just the normal Grim Reaper, right? It's the Grim
yeah,
Reaper
he's
that kills
just
you
really,
your card.
It turns out he's really passionate about card games. They didn't show you what kind of cards he had. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had a Magic the Gathering deck under that one.
I mean, there's 1,000 episodes of this. High chance there's another episode where they go back to the graveyard and are caught by the Reaper of Cards, and then he makes you play him in Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's the graveyard, not to be confused with the boneyard, everyone.
The boneyard. Is there any spooky stuff going on this week?
It's Thanksgiving.
No, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving.
You know what? I don't think I should lead the conversation this time. I have notes, though. I can take over for the notes.
Oh, my God. This is hard. Well, are you guys going to indulge in any family choking this holiday season, or do you think it's going to be an easy one?
Yes, with
I'm
consent.
Wearing a turtleneck.
Well, I always slamming my other brother around, but he, as he has grown older, really doesn't like it. So it's tough.
Yeah, he developed all these muscles, and now you can't pick him up and throw him around as easy.
Or you can, but like it's like a struggle now in a way that makes you look
not,
like a bully as it's happening.
Right. It's a lot more like an assault than it used to be.
Before you'd just be throwing a tiny man around, and he'd be like, no, stop. And now it's like, don't do it. I don't want to be tickled.
Get off of me. What the fuck are you doing? Get off of me.
And then he like starts biting a lot. He's like,
ew.
Go right for biting.
Bite? No,
one time
that's 0
I was
to 20.
Sitting on him. I was sitting on him, and he bit me so hard, I had to go get a tetanus shot.
You had to go get a tetanus shot. Sure. Because he's a wild animal.
Man.
He cut his teeth on some rusty metal before.
I wish I was
poison
a brother.
Damage.
It's kind of the
being
core
a brother
of
seems about. Fun. You like you're ready for war at any given moment.
You're an honorary brother, Katie.
Oh, cool. I got a knife. Don't
twin.
Come near me.
Right. See, again, this is kind of the attitude we're trying to disperse. Oh, wait. I have an update from our regular episode now that I've put it out into the ether. I watched another Cowboy Bebop last night after we recorded.
Okay.
And it was not as good when you're not bodied off wine. So I do
feel
like that's an important update.
You are super shit-faced. It was not a good show.
And now I'm dying.
You were showing off about your pond filled with wine, and you were really just feeling like a king.
Wait, I still
the
hold
wine
on. It's a
pond.
Visual podcast. I got it right over here.
And okay. I don't think.
What
I
mean,
anybody
I mean,
need anything?
It's a chess pond that you can fill
street.
With wine. Yeah, you know, I really
it led me to ruin my life.
Alex lives in a really bougie area, so his street trash is like just like the sale rack at Restoration Hardware, while like the garbage in my neighborhood is like literal rats tied together.
We have a $600 mirror we found.
Yeah,
we're just throwing
crazy.
It out. The weekend no longer comes to do coke off our mirror, so we don't need it anymore.
Or they got a new coke mirror, a nicer coke mirror.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard The Weeknd's new album?
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I haven't heard it. I heard the single he did with Ornio Points Never, that came out like a couple years ago, but that's the last time I checked it on our friend The Weeknd. There's only like so many tracks you can hear about being like, I fuck a lot and I don't call back doing drugs.
Well, this one, he's, I think they're more down bad. It's like old school R&B style fucking songs where they're like, I have sex with this girl and she has kids. And that's kind of my problem now.
She has kids. I lit a candle.
And Anderson Fox's like, she has kids.
Anderson .Paak's too smooth.
Yeah.
And another thing, I don't enjoy his music because it's too smooth. The Weeknd's music, it makes me feel young. But Anderson .Paak, I feel like I'm supposed to be an older soul to appreciate it.
He looks like, I think he's older than I thought he was. Because he like, I think he has like his equivalent of like aunt cigarette voice. But like,
yes.
I thought he was really... like 20, but he's like 40, I think. I'm looking it up. I did a job with him and he was just like hanging around and it's like a cartoon alligator, like kind of going around.
In what way?
He just like, that's like the attitude I imagine a cartoon
it
alligator.
It actually can't be described. You'll just know it when you see it.
Yeah. If you knew as many cartoon alligators as I did, you'd know exactly what I was talking about.
It feels a lot like you're in an early Donkey Kong title.
Yeah.
He'd be Funky Kong.
Well, maybe this is an angle for us to address, and that's Hollywood Stories with Chris, live from Tinseltown, except he's back in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm not in
Tinseltown. I forgot we
now.
Got a Hollywood Square right here. Right in my own goddamn living room.
Is that an insult?
I don't know. I don't.
In Long Island, it is.
Yeah. Fucking Hollywood Square where you go to college and now you fucking missed a big time?
What? You go to college? That's the thing they say to actors a lot.
Look at me, la-di-da, to be or not to be.
You know, while you were busy being summa cum laude, I was blowing super cum loads.
Woo!
Oh, that's...
Happy holidays.
That's just this is a cool thing to say. I might just say, I might say that anyways. That's stealing valor from Long Island people, but it kind of whips.
What are some other celebrities you've worked with, Chris? Tell us about the Kings of Leon.
Right, the Kings of Leon.
Metaphorically, I don't know if you've worked with the Kings of Leon.
No. Wow. No.
And I wish I had.
I've mostly just been, recently I was doing a bunch of stuff with all the people in the halftime show, but like, I'm even when I work
the Super Bowl halftime show, a good friend of ours.
Yeah, friend of the show, the Super Bowl halftime show.
I know the pigskin.
Oh, wow. Do they know the That's... cage from Hell in a Cell? Do they know it?
Well, we know Snoop Dogg is instrumental in the halftime show, but that's an ongoing project. There's no reason to get anybody in trouble for an ongoing
exactly.
project. What about...
Exactly. The most recent celebrity interaction I had was an open mic over the wall next to my apartment that Rory Scovel dropped in on, and he was doing a set about tit fucking. And I know about that because I was trying to watch the end of Squid Game in my apartment, but my window was open and it was just punctuated by a man being like, tit fucking's weird, right?
Oh my God. Comedy is a plague.
Fucking your celebrity spotting was Rory Scovel.
Hey, he's famous enough. Leave Rory alone.
It's number one in the
Squid
book
Game.
Of... and he
did
ruin
the end of Squid Game.
The last episode,
they were having
Game's
like a climactic fight in the rain, and it was in Korean, and they were like talking about the ways that their friendship has come to this. And then outside the window, I was like, "Cause you got these tits, right? And you're fucking them."
We're like two tits being pressed together for friction.
Ugh.
Yeah,
in this dramatic squid game.
Both on the TV and in the alleyway.
I vote that you can do stand-up comedy as a career if you choose to chemically castrate yourself.
Interesting.
That's the new law.
And that's what happened to Alan Turing. He had a 15 he wanted to run, and he paid the price. He invented the computer and then immediately had to be like, and what's with the computer? I mean, I turn it on. It takes 3 days to turn on at this point.
The set never worked because nobody else had seen the computer yet.
You're not allowed to know about the computer.
What's with these knobs?
What else? The Kaiser's back in town. You see this, the Kaiser? Do people call Hitler the Kaiser? Like for
I'm sure they do in fascist circles. I'm sure at like America First or whatever, they're like...
Chris is right.
That was a whole other guy.
Oh, fuck.
Hold on.
I thought you were doing history podcast this month,
Alex. Oh,
whatever. Shut up. Okay, I got another one for you, hotshot. What about any anime celebrities? Tell us about R.A. Salvatore.
You ever meet Gundam? You mean Gundam? Yeah.
Okay, actually, I was outside a club once and Death Scythe was there, and he was like really uncool. Yeah. Like he was gacked up.
I hear All Might is like a huge dick.
They don't call him Big O for nothing, if you know what I'm saying. I was outside a bar once, and the guy who played the bellhop from the Grand Budapest Hotel was in line for the bar, and he was watching Dragon Ball Z on his phone.
That's how you know he's a real one.
Yeah.
that's a baller-ass move that you're like, I simply cannot stop watching Dragon Ball Z even when out in public.
Hell, I'm a dick.
I was like a little drunk, and I was like, is that Dodoria? He turned and like looked at me a second and then like went back to watching
maybe
the show.
He was like,
don't talk to the talent.
Maybe he was researching a role that we're gonna do a live action DBZ and he was gonna like try out for like fucking
he's gonna be Zarbon.
Zarbon.
You have to gain a lot of weight, but it's worth it.
Right. It's like The Machinist because you have to do both Zarbons if you're gonna be Zarbon. So like you have to be big Zarbon and pretty Zarbon.
So I guess for like pretty Zarbon, you just do the Batman workout, and then after that, I don't know. You got to get like 4 feet taller.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to grow scales and shit.
Yeah, they'll only hire you if you can do it.
There's no way around workouts.
Yeah,
you gotta hire the hot Kumail team to really
the Magic Mike squad.
Do they have a special? They must have had a special workout for that movie because everybody was fucking ripped.
That's right.
Oh man,
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, that's a Hollywood classic. Everyone.
They had to do
Magic
so
Mike.
Many strip aerobics, just hours and hours of strip aerobics.
But here's the thing: they didn't have to teach any of that to Principal Chalmers to. Channing Tatum.
I'm sorry, what?
Because Channing Tatum was already so good at being sexy.
Principal Chalmers was already so sexy. I'm getting that. What are you sick with?
I just have a cold and it's not
a
big deal.
Who did this to you?
And I slept a very little last night partially because I had a spicy tummy from drinking 3 bottles of wine and a plate of cheese and pizza.
None of that is binding. How are you not just shitting your brains out as you're speaking to me?
And I tried to exit through my throat and I couldn't breathe the whole night, but I'm okay now.
Well, you said
I also have a cold unrelated to that.
You got poisoned by wine. And I was thinking like a Game of Thrones style thing where somebody like put something in the wine and resealed
it. No,
it
was just the regular alcohol poisoning style.
They just gave you another wine when you finished your wine.
Yeah. He just continued to drink the wine when wine should have just, been off the table.
I was trying to bulk up because I'm playing Zarbon in this film coming
right.
up.
Yeah. You get this Gin Blossom Zarbon has.
But just post-transformation Zarbon. Okay, well, that's enough Hollywood gossip for now. My plate is full. In the meantime, we are at the casino. I think it's probably best we go to everyone's favorite segment, Card Shark Tanked.
Alex, I'm going to put out there that you look like you're going to die. And I say we just skip the tank this week and get straight to Yu-Gi-Oh's. For the sake of the health of the host.
I know you're so right, but the thing is, we have to do the same amount of time anyway, and I did tell Chris to prepare a game. So we'll just have... This would be like a... Pretend you're actually on Shark Tank, okay? Pretend you're really there. There's not a lot of time, and we're going to cut you.
Right.
We're going to cut you if it's not hot.
My game's easy. It's an easy game.
Okay, just for clarity, Katie and I are sitting backwards in the chairs from The Voice, which is the main difference between us and Shark Tank, and if we want to invest, the chair spins around.
And Mark Cuban's here?
Yeah, he's here too.
He's here. He's not going to say anything.
He's in the restroom, but he's listening.
He's bored. This show sucks.
Right, because this... Damn, Mark.
The Where's the beat? Dallas Mavericks?
Let him speak, Alex. You're right.
If you want to talk Dallas Mavericks, I found out yesterday that one of the players on the Celtics might be a literal gray wolf, and I would love to talk to someone about that.
Oh, my God.
We can do that another time.
I simply don't have a reserve of knowledge, and we're on live television.
I want to play a game called I Didn't Name the Game, but I heard our mother talking one of her patients earlier, and she's told a child who was 13 that he was only ever going to be 5'7", and he started crying. And I think it would be funny if we had a game where you meet like a 10 or 12 year old, and you have to tell them all their stats that they're going to grow into, and you have to like guess them. And you'd have to start the game, the funding for the game. It'd be like, you remember when they made Boyhood? You'd have to start at like 8 years in advance. And then you'd film it. And then they'd come back 8 years later. And you'd be like, I guess 6'3". And the door turned. And it's like a guy who's like already balding. And he's like not 6'3". So you lose. You know, you get the stats.
It's like a long game.
I loved Boyhood.
Okay, so you're on board.
Synced up almost perfectly with my timeline. It was uncanny. But back to this. So just to clarify here, this is a game played over a decade?
Yes. Well, it's okay. So it sounds hard for that reason, but really all it means is like the first one you have to do 8 years before it starts, and then you just keep filming it. And then you have a backlog of 8 years of it once it gets going, and you can kind of, you know, go from there. And
so you said a lot of prep there.
Like $600,000 for 2% is kind of what I'm offering sharks.
It's almost approaching Squid Game levels of preparation to do this boy stats game.
Right.
But if you put enough money on it and make some action happen on it, then we have a real game talk, and we have their calipers out, we're measuring the boy.
You look at their feet.
We're getting child labor back in the game where it deserves
nobody
to
be.
Nobody
wants to work.
No one wants to work anymore. Especially these, except these fucking children.
And you'd like look at their fingernails and their feet to like, you know, like a dog. You'd be like, oh, he's got interesting feet. I bet he's going to be large. And you go from there. And you said boy stats. And I like that. I think that could be a good name. So you're already a really good partner on board with it. So it's really just Katie. Are you coming or not? The train's leaving the station.
Listen, chugga chugga choo choo. What do those little boys do? Let's go.
What do those little boys do? Now there's a title.
That's something we're actually discouraged from asking the little boys.
Yeah,
is
that's
stuff
fine.
Like what that do?
That's fine.
Yeah, you're
I
not
simply
allowed to, I have no eye contact
to pee,
with the boys.
So take my money. I'll be right back.
Katie's gonna pee. Wow. I'm gonna think of some more titles here because I think we can do better than boy stats.
Yep. What about
I'm playing off boys to men. Because that's a big part of it, is the time investment.
What about whore groans, like hormones, but you're grown?
Whore groans. Whore becomes whore a big part of it.
Right.
And now, I figured out of your boy trafficking ring, which is instrumental right. in playing boy stats. Right. I'm not sure we're going to want to have it out in front, you know, because there's a lot of money riding on this.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Back in the game.
Jack be nimble, Jack be thick.
That's pretty long.
Yeah, it's too long.
What about percent dials? And it's like percentiles, but there's also big dials that maybe you turn.
Oh, okay. You didn't mention the dials before.
Yeah, that's how you dials. Go on the stats that you're going to anticipate.
Yes.
See?
And you don't have to say a specific type, you just say a percentile. So you got to be like, oh, he's going to be 70th percentile.
Your 70th percent dial, and then we're turning the large dial, which is the size of like a table.
I can see this going from an at-home game to a national beloved pastime with its own television show hosted by Howie Mandel.
I would and even Howie, say it's only the version hosted by Howie Mandel and is impossible to play at home.
Well,
I would... Because you just have a kid at home.
Oh, okay. You, like, so this is just like between you and your spouse.
Yeah, and then you guess when they're like a little baby, and then you just kind of like, you can only play once at home, or I guess for how many children you have. Yeah, right. And then Howie goes, show me 5'11", and then the door turns and you're like, everybody's disappointed because the kid's like 5'9".
Howie Mandel, what secrets does he have?
He's a germaphobe.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a secret. I think everybody knows that. Did I tell you I found a channel on my TV that is just Deal or No Deal all the time?
What?
There's simply no time to discuss it. Well, that's another week of Guard Shark Tank, and the song is playing, and
oh boy,
the sharks are swimming around the pool table or whatever the fuck. Wow. All
right.
Another great one.
Another great one. You know what I would love to do, though? Talk about this episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters.
You know what? I'm equally interested in that activity. Let's roll the song. Monsters, and it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode 11, and again, don't have the title up because
I think it's episode 13.
13!
And do you know why I know that?
Why do you know
because
that, Chris?
We have the DVD of episodes 10, 11, and 12 in our living room. The three episodes before this, the only DVD of Yu-Gi-Oh! We own. Because I bought it on a whim when I was a child.
Right.
You're like, walking around, I gotta have these three episodes. Man, the audacity of the anime industry in the early 2000s would be like,
for real.
Three episodes on a single DVD. You're welcome.
I bought the Dark Tournament on DVD. It's like seven or eight discs. And like each has like three episodes on it. If you want to keep going, you have to like change discs every 45 minutes of content.
That's so fucking crazy.
We had the Outlaw Star box set, and it's like the big thing there was it had like what, 8 episodes on a disc? Did they just like compress that, or those just like lower value files or something? How did
someone
found the zip
more
button.
Discs means more money spent. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. They're like, how
bastards.
Can we squeeze every less dime out of these duel monsters?
They're playing their own
what
game.
Won't capital take from us?
Well, this episode's name is Evil Spirit of the Ring.
Evil Spirit.
But in Japanese, it's Trap of the Metamorpot, Flame Swordsman in Danger. Now that's a title.
No, that's a title. And
that's extra good name.
That Flame Swordsman is in danger. Let's get into how
but
it was barely
Flame Swordsman. It's Joey.
It's not even a card game. I What is the rules of this episode? I don't know.
Katie, back off. That's my brother.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Katie, put the knife down.
I listen, you said I'm part of the family, okay?
Okay, so at the end of last episode, Bakura, who is the friend of all the characters from school, and we don't know him, but if we went to school with them, we would.
Right.
He runs into them in the woods and makes them all say their favorite cards. And they're like, yeah, I love this. This is like an icebreaker with someone we already know.
Yeah. I love how they didn't occur to them that anything weird was happening when, like, they stop what is normally a frenetically paced episode to just sit there and slowly describe a playing card.
Yeah, it's a trap card. It's pretty fun. I don't know. It does stuff. It's my favorite. I like it because there's a flame swordsman. So, well, at the end of that episode, after that seemingly innocuous conversation, wouldn't you know it, Bakura is possessed by the devil through his Millennium Ring, and it has taken over his young body and is using it to its own ends, and uses that power to suck all the souls out of our heroes and send them to hell. And the only one resistant to this trap is the Pharaoh who lives inside of Yugi's famed millennial puzzle, who's on his damn phone all the time. And
are they in hell? Where are they? They're like in the Negaverse. The Shadow Realm.
Famously, the Shadow Realm. That's where you go when you get sent to the Shadow Realm.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
It's for all intents and purposes hell, though, right?
So when Yu-Gi-Oh! Screams Yu-Gi-Oh! And like demands that you open your mind, this is what's happening, is he's banning your psyche to the Shadow Realm.
Right. This is actually a big episode for lore.
Yeah. Well, okay. First, let's talk about, the entity that takes over Bakura? We don't really get to the bottom of that. They ask who he is and he goes like, I'm a thief.
I
am he that takes in the dark of night.
I'm kind of a shitty dude.
I'm Mr. Steal Your Girl.
I kind of suck, and I love little boys.
It's terrifying.
Well, this is all the setup you need to know that the Pharaoh Yu-Gi-Oh! Inside Yugi's body is going to play Bakura in a game of dual monsters on a tree stump in the Shadow Realm. And it's not in one of those big arenas they've been playing on every other episode. It's just a tree stump.
I got excited at first because I'm like, finally they're admitting that this is just like a regular ass card game. And then they're like, nope, not twist. Quite.
Oh my God, he admitted it. And so the thing happens where Yugi's like, all right, Bakura, you son of a bitch, give me my friends back. And Bakura's like, Bakura is not my name. I am the one of the darkness. And
I am Shitty Magoo.
He believes in the power of names. Yeah. He's not just going to give it to you.
That's true. You have to trick it out of him and say it backwards and stuff. There's a whole Conjuring film about it. But in this Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode, Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Masters episode 13, they play Yu-Gi-Oh! Instead. And so they start playing, and Yugi is looking at his hand, and he goes, you know what I'll do is I'll play Tristan's favorite card, which is like a guy with a machine gun, and he's like, go. And then just Tristan is in.
Fash.
Tristan pops out of the card, but dressed as this, what many are calling fascist.
Just a fash card.
Robocop
just a
guy.
Tristan.
I do love how like everyone else is like a mystical kind of like D&D character, and this dude's just straight up like, I'm a man that's a gun.
he's Barrett from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
And but what's important to remember is he's also Tristan, and so he comes up and he's like, hey Yuki, what are we doing? And they're like, no, Tristan.
So basically the cards that the kids chose, they then appear as on the board. But what pisses me off is like hypothetically, they're playing a card game, right? So they still have to command them. No, they have total free will.
Oh, yeah, they're totally like, in charge of themselves.
It's so stupid. It makes no fucking sense.
They really take a lot of gambles with this card game for the fate of their souls. As
yeah,
we go
they're
on.
Like there's this magical pharaoh commanding them that. He's the best Yu-Gi-Oh card player in all of Yu-Gi-Oh because it's named after Yu-Gi-Oh. And then he's determined to keep them safe. And they're like, actually, let's not wait for him to tell us what to do. Let's just like fuck off and do our own thing. That'll
well,
work
that
out fine.
Even better when Tristan gets bodied by a magician.
Why are there so many magical hats in Yu-Gi-Oh?
Because they all have different powers for every hat. And that is what happens next, isn't it? Is that Bakura responds with his character, White Magical Hat, who is just a man wearing a white fedora. And he immediately fucking stuffs Tristan.
Just kills the shit out of him.
He makes Tristan put his gun in his mouth and stuff.
Right.
And like,
yep.
He's crying. And then, so Tristan disappears. And Yugi immediately yells, "What have you done with Tristan?" And Bakura goes, "Ha ha, he's in the discard pile or graveyard." Cut to Tristan, still dressed as Barret from Final Fantasy VII, walking around a big 19th century graveyard with mist everywhere. And he rubs a tombstone and his own name on it is on it. And he goes, "This can't be."
It's like real first it's very Scroogian, but also like there's Inception vibes to the way they're like they've already gone under one level and then he dies and he goes down another level.
Yeah, it's like where is this compared to where they were before?
I appreciate the nod to the classics here that they don't explain what is so bad about being in the graveyard. It's just like being dead. In Greek mythology, it's just a terrible fate.
It's like foggy.
Beyond description. Hold on, blow my nose. Here we go.
Interestingly, no Reaper of Cards yet. But I guess we'll get to him.
No,
but he doesn't show up.
He doesn't show up at
first.
He's
more of a subtle character, the Reaper of Cards.
Maybe Joey's just really fucking loud and immediately attracts him.
He summons the Reaper of Cards. It kind of looks like Dark Souls down there. I'm getting distracted. Okay, so
yeah,
Bakura is still playing cards with Yugi, and he's kind of trying to trigger him, and because he thinks Yugi's a snowflake, and Yugi is like, okay, if my friend's souls are in the cards, I don't want to play any more of those. But I do want to win this game of Yu-Gi-Oh! That their souls are riding on. So I guess I do have to play the good cards. So he plays Flame Swordsman Joey, who's Joey, but he looks like War Greymon.
Oh, he looks like a Ronin warrior or whatever that cartoon was.
Yeah, he kicks ass. Joey's way cooler as Flame Swordsman Joey than normal Joey.
So he sees Tristan or whatever, or he doesn't show up yet, but he later says, like, are we dreaming? And he goes, no, I'm going crazy. This is my full-on mental break delusion, which he seems pretty chill for someone openly admitting, like, I have just lost my entire mind.
I did think that was, like, something you would say.
Descended into madness.
My grip on reality has slipped, and I will never be the same.
I'm inside
the
carnival.
I'm in the Black Lodge. It's all is lost.
I'm ordering a slice at the Black Lodge. Well, he's deployed, and wouldn't you know it, the first thing he does is murder the man in the white hat with a big flaming sword, and he loves it.
It'd
and he
great.
Gets some classic Brooklyn dialogue while he does it. And Bakura, who we have to assume, like, the spirit that controls Bakura does not know how to play this card game or is not very good at it because he has no strategy the entire time. He's just, like, playing cards and making everyone discard and redraw their hand over and over.
Yeah, it kind of seems like he's just fucking stalling. Like, He keeps playing this card that every time you attack it, you have to discard your deck. And once again, since the characters have free reign as cards, they attack before Pharaoh Yugi tells them what to do. And I'm just like, what's even right. the point of so, any of this
then? So here's what happens, and it's a big lore update. Bakura plays a trap card. Joey is so confident off killing the white hat man, he immediately attacks it against Yugi's wishes. That card is the morphing jar, causing them to both discard their hands. Here's the lore update. Only God can prescribe free will to his creatures, and that places Yugi at a level below that of a god. He cannot strip Joey of his own volition and his own free spirit. He is only left to toil and watch in horror as he risks his own life doing random moves in Yu-Gi-Oh, which they should all know how to play.
He gets his hand discarded like twice, right?
Like three times. I was thinking back. Like that's kind of like a great like control function to have as a player. Just throw your hand away. Like I was waiting for some super big move that uses graveyards. Doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't come deep, up I at think. All. Yeah.
He's just being annoying. It's a place annoying.
That sucks. He's just a dick. Yeah.
And so Yugi's really upset that he discarded his whole hand and that he can't control his own damn cards. And so he plays the Dark Magician and he plays Reborn the Monster, which brings Tristan back because he wants to take Tristan out of the graveyard just because, like, we don't know what's going on with the graveyard. It's just better if he's on the board. And this is
do
where we get...
Do you dive for real? Like, they don't make it clear if you dive for real in the graveyard or what's up. I mean, Tristan does see...
The Tristan Reaper sees of cards.
Tristan, well, Tristan sees his own back. Grave in the graveyard, and it does right. seem once again like I feel like the crux of like the Shadow Realm and what Pharaoh Yugi does and in the past is like shatter people's psyches. So I guess it's just like the mind fuck of like seeing your own death would just like forever change you and put you in the grandpa TV or whatever.
Well, that's why when Tristan comes back, he's like real quiet and like shakes and cries a lot. Like yeah. they bring him back, but he's not the guy he once was, you know?
Yeah, you know, he keeps talking about the war.
He does right. change a lot. But when Yugi plays Dark Magician, this is important. Yugi's head is on the Dark Magician now. Because right. his soul has been stolen and the Pharaoh is in his body, which is a different person. And they now, all realize that and just decide not to think about it.
And well, they
have a
crazy.
Conversation.
They have a conversation, but what's crazy about it is that this is the first time it comes up. Because whenever the Pharaoh takes over Yugi's body, it grows literally 2 feet. He grows 2 feet.
And his voice changes.
Like, no one's like... They're like, oh, Yugi seems more confident, but they're never like, holy shit, he just grew 2 feet.
And even like, even Yugi is like, he sees it and he goes like, you know, I did always kind of feel like I was possessed by a spirit not of this world. But he doesn't like say like, he's not sure. He's like, I always seemed like a deep voice inside of me was telling me what to do. And you're like, no, it was on the, like literally it was doing all of it for you.
I was kind of hoping they'd be like, yeah, I've blacked out every time I start playing a game of cards. I have no idea how this game works.
I get in a white room and I sit in a chair.
Well, and up until this point, I thought like the Pharaoh was kind of like a counterpart to Yugi. But like this episode posits that Yugi actually sucks ass at Yu-Gi-Oh! And that fucking it's been the Pharaoh the whole time that is any good at it. Because Yugi immediately just starts sucking ding-dongs at this game.
I mean, in Yugi's defense, Yugi is charitably 14 years old, whereas the Pharaoh is... 3,000 years old.
I get that.
A lot of time to get good at Yu-Gi-Oh!
The show is called Yu-Gi-Oh! And his name is Yugi. So maybe he should be fucking better at card game.
He should turn it around. Well, whoopsie daisy. They all freak out that the Pharaoh's taking over Yugi's body. And Yugi kind of lashes out because Joey's implying that he's short and the Pharaoh is the hot guy that they all like.
Yeah, and everyone's like, Yugi, how is this news to you? You're literally 2 feet tall, you motherfucker.
Right, and so he starts becoming emotionally insecure, which is going to come back, and he immediately attacks another morphing jar. I don't know why this guy's playing more morphing jars.
He's only got morphing jars.
He's doing the equivalent of like when, you know, button smashing or like throwing all the items off the level. You're just like, I'm just kind of a dick.
He's a tragically bricked hand, I think is what it is. Like, he's drawn 15 cards of trash.
He had a great like plan to defeat this guy in the thing. And he's just not drawing shit. It's all lands in there.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just like, maybe if I just talk shit enough, he won't be able to tell.
So now Yugi has drawn a third hand. And what do you know? He's come across Megan's card, the Magician of Faith. Yeah. And Baccara plays a card that's very good. And I have to assume the whole deck is based around, which is like, deal a quarter of the other guy's health per every monster on the field, and it almost one hits Yugi.
Yeah,
and it takes the form of a hand, just choking him.
It's a hand that comes out and bitch slaps Pharaoh Yugi across the face, and I'm like, what are the rules here?
I described it as a Luigi's Mansion ghost. It looks like the like big Ghostbusters like droopy hand, and it like grabs his heart, dealing 1500 damage.
It's funny too, because like, the illustration on the card is a big monkey, so I don't understand why it takes the form of a hand that bitch slaps.
I missed that one.
So Yugi is so shook by this, the Pharaoh. Not the actual boy, that he plays Megan just so she won't get discarded and go to the graveyard. And then Dark Magician Yugi is feeling very insecure now that like a girl is there. And he's like, you know, I'm tall. I get tall. Like, I've been tall before. It's not a big deal to me. And then he blasts an electrical lizard to prove that he fucks.
Yeah. And like, it's one thing the first time he insecurely does it and fucks up everything. Like, I'll give him that. He is 14. But the second time, it's like, we've established we listen to Pharaoh. What are you doing, you bitch?
Like, run to Pharaoh, Yugi.
Forgave him when he did the first, he destroyed the first card destroy guy. He went, me too. I did that too. Don't worry about it.
The Pharaoh everybody's displays doing it. What can only be described as a Pharaoh's patience this episode.
But to be fair, like, he does get kind of annoyed. He keeps being like, no, don't.
No!
Stop!
That's not how you play the game! That's not how you play the game!
Well, he always locks him in his little head.
And he keeps being like, we need to win so you don't die. And everyone's like, but what if I just do a willy-nilly?
They're so willy-nilly about their souls being in the line. And so Baccara now plays his one card that does something this game, aside from the trap card that almost one hit him. He plays this thing called Man-Eater Bug, which is like deploy, destroy a creature, which actually is not a big deal, except that the creatures are the main characters of the show, and we don't know what's going to happen when they're destroyed.
This is the only card I remember from Yu-Gi-Oh! From the limited experience I have with it, this is the only one I remember.
You played one of your guys. Your man-eating bug like all day.
Oh yeah.
Tristan immediately volunteers to be thrown into the maw of the man-eater bug because the grave has changed him.
Well, it's because he wants to
be part of this world.
He's on that dark triad shit. He knows that he's going to look like the alpha male by sacrificing himself for the female.
He's way taller than Yugi.
We get the classic anime boot.
Yeah.
Coming out of Joey.
So he volunteers, and then Joey hits him in the stomach with the pommel of a sword, which we're laughing at in the show. But is actually like that would really hurt if that happened to you.
Hurts so much.
bro, it hurts so bad.
And he jumps onto the man-eater bug, which allows Yugi the Pharaoh to play his own trap card and send them all to hell. And he plays the Horn of Heaven, blasting the man-eater bug with its celestial tune. And now Joey is fucking dead. Dead! And he appears in the 19th century graveyard, and he looks around, and this happens. There's not even a pause before this happens. He, like, looks over his shoulder and goes, "The Reaper of Cards, and he's come for me! Oh, no!"
And it's a literal Grim Reaper with a deck of cards.
Joey must have made the Reaper of Cards up, because it must be a personal health situation.
This is his part of his delusion, his like reckoning with his own mind.
We can agree Tristan was not pursued by the Reaper of Cards, correct?
Yeah, yes.
He was like having a bad time, but it was just him doing it. It wasn't like he was being tormented. Also, yeah. Joey's last words while he was climbing the bug were, "I'm actually fine, don't worry about me," which I thought was very funny.
Really holds up 20 years later.
We're skating through this, but there are some line deliveries in this episode that are unfucking real. There's one point when like Joey's on the board and he's like, "Oh man, yeah, huge." And then Pharaoh Yugi goes, "That's right."
That's right.
Damn right.
Huge fucking point, Joey. So Joey is now being chased by the Grim Reaper, which makes Megan cry.
Yeah, she's like, "No."
Because she's afraid of the Grim Reaper.
Because she's a woman.
Right, she can't control her emotions.
And you know what's the most powerful tool a woman has? Her tears.
Her tears. They're a little bit different than you or I. Katie, your haircut's so sharp.
Thanks.
You could be like a Black Parade Gerard Way with this shaped hair.
Thank you so much
for that. You could be Joe Rogan's cousin, Gerard Way.
I would love to point out that when I came over your home, your wife was like, "I asked Alex what color your hair was," and I almost didn't want to tell her that I dyed it that day to just make you look like a fucking fool.
Well, she asked and I did not know. I could not describe it. And then you showed up and I was wrong because it changed colors. Okay, well, but anyway, back to this episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! That we gotta describe here. Joey's getting chased by this Reaper and this woman is crying. And when she cries, as we all know, because she is the magician of fate.
Ugh.
Good. Someone wrote that down.
Because she's the magician of fate, that means she gets to play a card from the graveyard. And the card they play from the graveyard brings a creature back from the graveyard. And the creature they're playing bring
Rebirth
back from the graveyard.
Monster.
My boyfriend was watching this with me, and it's at this point where he says, "Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the most making it up as they go along show I have literally ever seen." And I think that's very accurate. It's very much like, she cries, and then I get the card back, and then this card back brings this card back, and then they all high five. It's just like,
it's an improv 101 style show.
Truly.
And what's important is Joey is saved from this Reaper who's going to do something to him. It swings its big...
He's about to get slashed.
He's about to get cut
in half. He almost
gets
slashed.
It's I will say it is vague what is going to happen, but, you know, we don't want it to.
Thank goodness he wasn't. And there was a part before this, I think I skipped it, where Bakura is like, "Hey, just so you guys know, like, this is a big game. You should probably like try to play well instead of wishing your friends back over and over." And so he plays Change of Heart, which is a card that turns friends against each other.
Mm-hmm.
The twist is, so they're all like, "We won't ever turn." He's like, no, but you will, because you have to obey the cards. And I'm like, well, no one's been obeying anyone this whole episode.
That actually is not true.
And then it turns out if the card is your friend, then you actually have nothing to fucking worry about.
Right.
The twist is cheating.
Yes, you know, Alex makes this point is that Yu-Gi-Oh wins every time because he cheats every time.
The thing about Baccarat is it's not really Baccarat. It's he with no name from the fourth layer of the unspeakable dimension. Yeah,
it's Baal's-Matep, the unfathomable. And so, he who steals cards.
And so this card is actually Baccarat's soul, the real boy. And so Baccarat comes out and is like, I'm going to do whatever I want. Actually, we lose. And he's like, God fucking damn it.
Fuck you.
At one point, Yugi's like, you know, don't sacrifice yourself because if you lose, you get sent to the graveyard and you objectively die. And he goes, it doesn't matter. No, and I'm like, damn, that's kind of dark. And that's when Pharaoh Yugi's like, oh, wait, if I can like banish souls, I could probably yank one out, right? Let's try that, maybe.
I actually can do whatever.
Why the fuck
am I
playing cards?
Right. It was at that point I'm like, why are we here? What are we doing?
Well,
oh shit, I'm magic. fuck you.
Oh, I totally forgot at the very beginning of the episode when this all starts happening. Joey goes, I hate magic.
He's in a tough show to be in. Yeah. If that is the case, because it is gonna come back time and again. And so Baccarat loses and he can fucking fuck off. And Yugi now saves all his friends and they're alone in the woods again. And they're like, Baccarat, where'd you even get the Millennium Ring?
And then he goes, my dad bought it as a souvenir.
Well, what
from
he
the
says
guy
is,
who sells the fucking Hexacube from Hellraiser. It's the same guy.
What he says is casually, oh, ancient Egypt. And then they all go, oh, right.
Right.
Me too.
A merchant.
That old chestnut.
And they all wake up like it was a terrible dream. But it wasn't. It was just a confusing episode. Oh, a scream in the distance. And then what is that? That's the hook to get you back into
and
the
Joey,
show.
Joey this and Tristan child... almost kissed, but they don't.
Oh, yeah. It was so horny. Their faces were so close together.
They're
and they
kind of
looked
friends.
At each other like, I didn't do this. You did this. And then they're like, or did we? And then there's another beat and then they break up. But
right.
You know, you,
that's in the script. You
know. Yeah.
When you get these scripts the out for Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode 13.
Yeah. Fox made them edit out the long, wet tongue kiss that happened.
We're missing
them.
Frames. And the frames are that. That's beautiful.
And that is Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters episode 13.
Your move.
It's not Noah's Secret. That's a different one. I lost what the title is, but I said it earlier.
All right. Time for bed, boys.
Raymundo's Noah's Secret. Big score.
The creator returns. Invitation from Pegasus.
I wonder if this is listenable.
We'll find out soon enough.
Man.
Well, what a fun card game this has been. Out of 7 Dragon Ball cards, Katie, how many Dragon Ball cards do you give it?
Okay, so this episode's probably hard to listen to, and it doesn't fully express how fully unhinged psychotic this episode was. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 7. If it had another rock and roll Joey montage or whatever, then it would have gotten a full 7, but it was fucking unreal.
The bar has been raised.
Yeah.
like
it was
original music being introduced.
Yeah. But it was so crazy. I can't believe this was an episode of a show that they put on air and they're like, "Yeah, this makes sense."
Chris, out of 7 Dragon Balls, Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode 13.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Bakura mentions at the beginning of the episode there's 7 millennial items. So
Millennial.
Either way, there's 7 of them. So, you know.
Avocado toast.
This isn't
selfies.
The last.
No one wants to work. I'm going to go with
participation trophy.
This episode gets a participation trophy and 5 Dragon Balls because they went right into the duel and And I had heard that there would be a tight 6 to 8 minutes of other bullshit first, and there simply wasn't. But
there
the rest
usually
of it was very
is. Fun. It's not my right. fault you got an extra good episode. I will also give this 6 out of 7 Dragon Balls because that is the number of the beast. He who has betrayed our Lord,
666,
the Morning Star.
Right.
The last angel.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
The laughing charlatan himself.
I love that Slayer album about Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, you know, I can't stand by their politics, but their representation of Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards is really,
really
something
that
stands the test of time. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on this episode that I'm 45% sure really happened and isn't a fever dream. Where can people find you on the internet or out in the world?
You're like the Joey of this podcast. I'm on Twitter at Crispy Tax, Instagram at Crispy Tax. Don't follow me on Instagram. I say that. Don't do that. You can find me on Facebook, but don't do that either.
Find me on Facebook.
Find me on Facebook. Let's be friends.
Do you have a letterboxed?
No. Why would I make a letterboxed when I could just DM people on Facebook and tell them what I thought of movies?
That's a really good point. Well,
that's a great point.
I just saw Babel.
Great.
I saw
Criterion
Belfast.
Channel. Here we come.
And I'd love to discuss it sometime, but not today. Today, we'll be listening to a little tune.
Here he goes.
Changing my living on top of the continent. Yeah, sitting up back with them killers. We find where they be and we running it. Yeah, came from the bottom, my nigga. My life and that man is hurting. Yeah, came with that fire. We stay with the shit. I'm gonna go take a nap from me. Money, the root of evil. Got my family and bitches won't come for me.
Always.
They loving a demon with money. A demon with nothing won't fuck with me.
Take love and taking a toll. It's coming out ugly.
Ain't trusting who calls. They planning on touching me.
I know they don't fuck with a nigga. Gonna stay down until they come up off of me.
Yeah. Reaper. And all type of friends. And all type of ways.
Fuck how they feeling, ain't changing my living on top of the continent. Yeah, sitting up back with them killers, we find where they be and we running it. Yeah, so try to prepare for the count of this. Get my heart and just leave with this money, bitch. Pack it out and go back to my mama's shit. Young nigga too rich for that. Oh, you know you ain't shit for that. I don't plan on get back. I don't know no drugs.
Tell them niggas that it's fuck them and I'm in K.
To the Maybach, go to Lamb, I ain't rich yet.
Told all this man, drop a bag on his bitch ass.
She feeling him, let him leave with this thing cold.
Front street, I'm in trial on the front row. Mama looking down cause she knowing that I can't go. Got my son looking at me while I make this song. On this bus, I ain't touring, trying to make it home. 4-5, cop back, spit a nigga dumb. I just heard we made a stop, Jay, hold on.
Ran out of pen, I need another one. Never gonna save that money, coming as a special one. Niggas good this, but let them talk cause they ain't running.
Red eye and them sticks straight in the dish, I'm probably running something.
Villa Del Rey, another mansion. When them bricks dropped off, Jesus did a promise, so I'm posted on call. Nigga hit the line, saying crank, I ain't fall.
Pounds now. I'm stressing, this making me angry. Not sure, believe me now. I came from the north, I was staying with my granny.
I'm alone right now.
My pill, ever throw it at me, I never look back at it. Mommy used to rap, so it made me want to snag it. Only time I had a graduation, I said it.
John Folk.
Ran out of pen, I need another one. Never gonna save that money, coming as a special one. Niggas do this, but let them talk cause they ain't running.
Red eye and them sticks straight in the dish, I'm probably running something.
Villa Del Rey, another mansion.
When them bricks dropped off, steady bumping, so I'm posted on call. Nigga hit the line saying, Greg ain't fall.